You guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The Bachelor here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we were in Paris, the city of love, but I don't know, we saw a lot of heartbreak. We saw some really boring one-on-one dates, some exciting dates. We saw Moulin Rouge. It was an interesting episode, a fun episode, and we'll get into it right after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It'll want me. Yes, that's what every girl is saying to Ari.
So true.
Yeah. Okay, Jeff, who sings the song Cheap? No, this is the what version?
No, this is the Cheap Trick version. Heck yeah.
Yeah, so good. This song was recommended to us by Sarah B, who always listens at iBroccoli, right? On Twitter. So thanks for recommending that.
Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah. You guys, what a good episode.
So much to say. I loved this episode. I feel like this was so far my favorite episode of the season. Things happened I predicted. Things happened that I couldn't predict. I loved it.
Same. Caught me off guard. And I think this was the most vulnerable we've ever seen Ari. And I loved it. That was my favorite part of the episode.
I loved it too. Okay. Obviously, we're going to break it all down. But before we do, these are the people that are on the panel tonight. Renee, tell everyone a little hello and where they can find you.
Hey guys, you can follow me at Renee Ariel on Instagram and on Twitter. And I also have a blog called sextingandthecity.com.
Hey guys, you can find me on social media at Christine Bean. Don't have a blog yet, but I'll let you know when it's up.
Yes. I have to say something.
Get to it, girl.
Yes. And I have a Tinder.
We have
don't
Jeff.
Even have that.
We have Jeff in the house.
Woo. Yo, I'm still working on getting my ugly face up on the screen.
Oh my gosh,
Jeff.
By the way, Christine, I thought you did have a blog with 3 G's. Is that not right?
Oh, love it. Jeff coming in with the shade.
Yeah, you know. I'll be up in a sec, guys, but good to be here, y'all. Cannot wait to talk about this episode.
It was a good one. Yeah. And as always, guys, my name is Christina Zias. You can follow me across social media at Ms. Zias and at MsZias.com. So check that out. All right. Should we get into Paris?
Yes.
Paris. Okay. First of all, I did not know this, but apparently Christine speaks French.
Are you going to put me on the spot?
Yes, girl? Yes, I am.
Je parle français.
Okay.
Mais pas ce soir.
Christine, je parle français un peu, mais pas bien.
Oh my gosh, what is happening right now? Jeff, you speak French too?
Parce que oui, j'ai travaillé au Québec pour 6 mois.
Oh, you lived in Quebec for 6 months?
That's right. Yeah. I worked. Okay. I worked in Quebec for 6 months.
Oh my goodness. Guys, I'm so turned on to both of you right now. This is beautiful.
When I'm drinking, I'm really good.
Are you?
I bet. You think that'll help me get a date? Like, what's up?
Yes, yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Although you have to be careful where you say you speak French. I know you're talking about finding a date, but so I speak a little bit of Italian, and I put it on my acting and hosting resume that I was fluent in Italian. And I got cast for an Italian speaker role.
No way.
Went to this audition and I did the entire thing in Italian, but it was for Volkswagen and it was Germans that hired me. So when I got to set that day, you know, I was doing my whole thing and then someone was like, wait a minute, this girl's American. She is not Italian. And anyways, that's my foreign language story. But gotta be careful. Don't lie if you're not fluent. That's all I gotta say.
I wanna say I'm like intermediate level. I used to be fluent, but
I think that's very impressive still.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. So were you excited to see this date in Paris? Not necessarily because you speak French, but, you know.
Well, you understand. You, like, know the language.
Well, I understood, like, the 2 lines that they said in French the whole time they were there. No.
Christine, we're just going to interview you this entire podcast.
How do you feel?
No, I love that it was in Paris. Beautiful location. It's actually on my list of places that I'm going this summer. So I was just, like, looking at everything that I want to see. But, you know, as we say about every location, it's a great place to fall in love. So
always. It's always the place. But it's true. Paris
is as good as Tahoe. That's the only question.
I mean, Tahoe, Paris.
Or as Fort Lauderdale. I mean,
Fort Lauderdale is the city to fall in love. I don't know if you were watching last week's episode, but whoo. Paris, it was a downgrade, but I did appreciate it. It was, you know, pretty. It was no Fort Lauderdale, Florida, but it was really pretty.
No, Paris really is gorgeous. I was very excited for the girls. I just love when they go international, just because, like, as a viewer, you get to see something a little bit different, too. Like, the Bachelor house gets boring after a while, you know what I mean? So this was exciting. And finally, I feel like in this episode, we got to see some girls who had zero attention before today's episode.
Yep.
This is the turning point in the season, though. Like, we either saw them or they were going
this
home.
This is halfway, right? Or
this is episode 6, so okay. We're a little more than halfway.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. It was good.
Mm-hmm. It was so good. I love that there was romance. There was a heartbreak. There was drama. It was everything you need in one episode. And I felt like with a couple of the other episodes, there were a lot of slow moments where you're like, okay.
Okay.
But in this one, it was like bum, 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 bum.
No. I'm sorry. Did you not consider the entire first third of the episode, Lauren's date, not a slow moment?
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure was like the worst snooze fest of the entire season so far.
But you know what blew my mind is like after we were bored on the date, watching her just say, wow, the whole time. We're like, okay, like she's going to go home, right? And he's sitting there like, I want you to like me. I'm like, you're the bachelor. You have several other women back on the boat in Paris. Like, you're going to go for the girl who's not even talking the whole date because you think you see something in her?
I was excited for this date because I feel like in Fort Lauderdale, you know, they had that cute exchange. She was like, they were playing that 21 questions game or something.
That wasn't that cute.
It was cute. It was way cuter than this entire day in Paris. I mean, at least she said something. I'm like, girl, you were in Paris. Like, there's a million things around you to talk about. Like, you could be like, well, look at that. You like, she did not offer anything.
Anything.
That pissed me off.
It pissed me off, too.
Yeah, I mean, all the other girls would have killed for that one-on-one time.
Totally. With
him, especially at this point in a place like Paris where you have so much to play off of. I think it was just a missed opportunity. And, you know, their whole one-on-one was harping on how hard it is for her to open up. But there is a difference between not being able to open up and just not being a good conversationalist. Not putting in, putting yourself out there just a little bit.
But who knows? Like, she may be a great conversationalist with someone else. To me, if anything, it was just lack of chemistry. I don't see chemistry with them. Maybe physically, because they're both attracted to each other, but I don't see any chemistry outside of a physical connection.
Jeff, what do you think?
So here's my biggest complaint of the whole episode. Lauren, she says, I'm the kind of person who friend zones men for 6 months.
Oh my God.
So I went on a TV show where the goal is to find your husband in 6 weeks.
Right.
It's like,
so true.
What? If that's your personality, don't go on The Bachelor where you're finding your life partner in 6 weeks. And obviously it's a problem for her because she could hardly say a word during this date.
But that's the thing. Like, this goes to show guys love hard to get. Because let me tell you something.
I think that is actually a really good point.
Kendall was, like, she was in it. She's very open with him. She's honest. And he heard from Crystal, of all people, like, she might not be ready. And he was like, oh, I should bring this up to Kendall. Lauren literally told him how hard it is for her to open up, how it takes her 6 months to even become romantic, like just being in the friend zone with the people before that, and he still wanted to make it work. He thought she was rejecting him and not into him, and instead of being like, I have 9 other women at home, or however many were left, I don't even know at this point, he then tries harder.
I mean, I think that's a very valid point, and to be honest with you, the only thing that makes sense to me, because I saw no personality at all. I saw no chemistry at all. And I was just so bored. Like, I couldn't wait for this date to be over. I honestly didn't think she was going to get the rose.
I really didn't. I think when we were watching it, you guys were like, you were saying that they're setting it up, that there's so much drama that she's going to go home, but she probably won't. But I was, like, honestly just like, damn, this girl's going to go home. Like, I really didn't feel it. The most entertaining part of that date was Ari opening up about his past relationship and that he had a kid, almost had a kid with his last girlfriend. I was like, whoa. I just love learning more about him still because he was just sharing more than she was.
And finally, he did get her to open up a little bit. And people in the chat world are saying he could have asked her questions too, which is a valid point. I guess they were walking around. But when they were walking around the city, he was trying to point things out to her.
Yeah.
What is it, Jeff?
To be totally honest, I was laughing about an inside joke with the other engineer in here.
So. Okay. Rude. Bye.
Not you guys. It was just a work thing.
Okay.
Keep going.
I was shocked by it. But that was crazy that he almost had a kid that we didn't know about that.
That was crazy.
I know. And I was also surprised that this was a story he opened up to Lauren about, because you would think that there are other relationships that he has a deeper connection with and has opened up to more already, that I found it very interesting. Of all the women that are still there, he chose to tell the story to Lauren. He probably to get her to open up more, but still.
Yeah, I was going to say, he kind of threw her a lifeline with that. Because when someone shares something that deep and intimate with you, and if you're just like, wow. Like, girl, you know? I was thankful that she was like, okay, let me give you a little something back, too. Because it's a give and take in a relationship. Like, you don't want to just...
I've never heard anything so dramatically said, or so dramatic said in such a nonchalant way. And for there to be such a nonchalant reaction. Like, I feel like it was like, and then... I could have been a father, but I wasn't. And she was like, oh, that's terrible.
And I was like,
am I already watching the same show?
Yeah, totally.
Did anyone hear what he just said?
Because I was shocked. I was like, word?
I also, know.
If I was on that date, I'd be like,
what I heard is that he chose work and to be away a lot when his girlfriend got pregnant. And he was trying to be like, oh, I thought it would be not a busy season, but it was. If your girlfriend gets pregnant, how about be there, take a break, do what you can, whatever you can to be there, because there are other jobs. Clearly, you found another job now. That's what I heard. But obviously, the way he portrayed it was very much like, you know, from his perspective, how it went down. But honestly, I feel like if we heard it from his ex, it would be told a little bit differently.
I mean, I don't know about that. I don't think, like, that is... I hear what you're saying, and I heard that in the story. But I think, like he was saying, I was trying to slow down, and you know, I was doing the best I could. Like, that's his job at the same time.
His job, but if you're going to, you know, make that commitment to be there for someone and start a family, you have to be there for that person.
But he also pretty much said, I have trust issues because this woman broke my heart and left me while I was away.
But why did she break his heart and leave him? Because he left her first.
It kind of seems like there's some skeletons in Ari's closet.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I feel like he hasn't been that open about them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't want to judge Ari because I like him. I really do. But I just, it seems like he's hiding some stuff.
To me, that story was shady.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, Annika Taznim in the chat room said he seemed like he was feeling desperate and told the story as a last ditch effort to keep her engaged. And I couldn't agree more with that.
Yeah.
I agree.
Terrible.
So awkward.
I'm like, she makes me mad at this point because this was like such a great opportunity and such a good date that I'm so pissed that she had it and gave us no entertainment and just like took that opportunity away from Becca M. I feel like if Becca M was on that date, it would have been amazing. We would have been like, Paris is amazing. Let's all go to Paris. And we just all slept through the first part of the episode instead.
Yeah, but I am so bored by it, Lauren. Honestly, I don't want to see any. I know now they're maybe trying to attempt to make her the next villain because ABC ditched both of their villains in one episode. Mm-hmm. But that's not going to work. Lauren is too boring to be the villain. Lauren is too boring and quiet to be the villain.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was a pity rose, which sometimes happens on this show where you feel like the rose is given more to the contestants because they feel kind of bad for them.
Oh, no. The rose is given to her because he wants her because she doesn't want him, or he thinks she doesn't. Meanwhile, she's like, he's what I've been looking for so long.
I don't believe her, though. I don't believe, like, that her interest in him is very genuine. I think because she's just so reserved, and it's hard because I'm very much a person who's very expressive. Mm-hmm. So when I see that in other people, I'm like, great, I believe you, because I'm the same way, too. So I don't want to discount her being demure, but, like, seriously, I don't see it.
Well, don't mistake in a great guy for the right guy. I think she likes him for who she thinks he is and this idea she has of him. But that doesn't mean she knows Ari and who he really is. I think when you're on a show where a man is put on a pedestal by several other women and that's the only man you're really seeing on this pedestal of like, oh my gosh, he's so hot and so perfect.
Yeah, you start to believe it.
You get brainwashed. Yeah. I think by the end of the season, all of us would be in love with Ari no matter what. Like, it's just going to happen.
If editing is done right, I'm sure we will.
Okay, well, let's not waste any more breath on Lauren.
She got a rose. Okay, boo.
She's good. Good for her. Okay, should we get on to the really fun part of the episode, the group date? I thought this was such a cool date. It was, what did it say? Let's get all dressed up. And it was Becca K, CN, Becca M, Tia, Chelsea, and Jenna, which I feel like is a fun group all together, too. I like all those women. And they went to Moulin Rouge and learned how to dance. It was so cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was cute, and it's a good opportunity to be sexy and kind of just lose yourself a little in that Parisian vibe. Like, I don't know. Like, he's everything about this episode and the Paris vibes. I personally, if I was on the date, would have just been showing out.
See, this kind of date would have made me so nervous because of, like, it's like a thong, essentially.
Yeah, that makes it, yeah.
And everyone said that they were really uncomfortable, so I feel like being in that, like, high-pressure situation, wanting to get the rose, thinking it's about your dance moves and your body, I think I would be so insecure. Mm-hmm. I need, like, three glasses of champagne before that date, which I'm sure they all had.
I agree. Can I say I thought it was a little weird of a date?
Yeah.
Like, just because it was, like, okay, these seven women get to go dress it up for Ari.
And literally walk out,
yeah,
do a turn so he can check them out, and then leave. That was
exactly
it. They barely danced.
Like that.
I think I'm kind of a snowflake sometimes, but I just thought this was a little bit like, I don't know. I felt weird. In the Me Too movement of Hollywood, I felt weird that it was like you're being subjected to, I don't know. I think I'm, whatever. What do you guys
see, I disagree. But I think it's because I just love to travel and I love new experiences. And I think for me, I would have been like, this is so cool. I'm on the stage where, like, this is where Moulin Rouge happened. I get to dress up. I think I would have thought about it as an adventure for myself. Like, I probably wouldn't have paid attention to Ari or even thought about it as a group date like that. I just think it's a cool experience.
Cool experience, for sure. To me, it wasn't a problem of them, like, learning the choreography. It was literally that awkward 5 minutes that they were each taking their walk and their spin.
Yeah.
I just found that weird. I will say, though, the entire date from the actual, like, activity to the cocktail party, I found very interesting the whole time. I was into it. I love seeing how the different girls reacted to it. I love that Cien was super into it, and she was a dancer. I thought that was so cool. And Tia was uncomfortable. But as for, like, if I was on the group date, I would hate it.
What?
Yeah.
You would love... I would love... I don't know. I feel like I would just be like, you know what? This is a one-time only deal.
Yeah,
and
same.
Just work it.
I was glad Ari was classy about it. I'm trying to think of past bachelors. I won't use any names, but
Nick.
It would have... Well, you said it, not me. I just... Yeah, you can see some, like, hey, stay there for me. Let me just check that
ew
out.
Before.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But can't you so see past bachelor? Like, Ari was a class act during this, I thought.
Nick was butt-grabbing in, like, episode 3.
Well, him and Corinne.
When they were doing, totally, like, the bridal dance shoot and all that.
Everything. Butt-grabbing, boob-grabbing, you name it.
It would be different if it were Nick. Yep. I agree. Okay, so when they had their time... Okay, this is the part where I think it's shady, is how only one girl gets to win. Again, obviously, this is the recurring theme. But they get one-on-one time with him, but the one-on-one time, they don't even get to talk or anything. They're just performing together, you know? So it's like all these girls were vying for that one-on-one time, but was it really to be with Ari? Because,
well,
it's,
I think
secure,
it's
rose.
But it's more than that.
You're like, girl, it's just about the rose. They don't care about Ari. They don't care about talking.
But they also have to rehearse, and they probably had to rehearse for a while. So it is a lot of time, probably off camera, to be honest with you. Or if not off camera, they didn't show it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a lot of that boring time that is the most important for relationships, because that's when you're just getting to know each other, as opposed to, like, getting into the deep conversations that they will show, you know, national television.
What did you think about the conversations that we saw during this group date, or lack thereof?
Boring.
Because I think the only people we saw him talking to were Tia,
and
Becca M, and Cien. That's it, right?
It just felt very quick. And those are three people that I feel we already know that he has a connection with. So to me, it was kind of pointless to see those moments.
I agree. And I also found it weird because... I think in past episodes, and I know we were talking about this a little bit before the show, Becca M was, like, his number one, as far as we knew. Like, watching him, it seemed like he was very much focused on a future with her, the way he would talk to her. He said she may be the most interesting or amazing person he's ever met. Things like that really made us feel like she was going to be number one at the end. But for some reason, this episode, I know she got the rose, but he felt a little more stepped back. Like, he felt less close to her this time, or less excited. There was something off with them this episode, where now she's the giddy schoolgirl who just wants him and to be, impress him and be there for him, and she gets jealous, and he's more like, And I find that interesting that it seems like as soon as she flipped, he kind of flipped.
I would agree with you, except that she got the group date rose. So...
But here's the thing. She got the group date rose of, like, the five conversations he had.
Yeah,
but
there's only five girls there. And those are five girls that he... six of them, right? That he's had chemistry with. Like, Tia, Chelsea, Becca K. So, you know what I mean? It's not like she's there with Crystal, Kendall, Jacqueline, and Jenna alone, then I'd be like, sure, Becca's the obvious choice. But in this group, it could have gone to any of them. So I feel like for him to choose Becca M, he obviously still really has that chemistry and sees that connection there.
I kind of agree with both of you. I think he still has his eye on her, but definitely less of the, like, heart googly, oh my God, I'm so, like, you know, infatuated with this woman now. I feel like he's starting to really, like, focus in on whether the connection is really there. And I think that's why he's kind of pulling back a little bit, maybe not showing all his cards that he's so sprung from her, you know?
I feel like for the first time, we're seeing their age difference.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, they're both realizing, like, man, the chemistry's there, but we're just too far apart in age, which is sad because I think if they were closer to the same age, she'd be a no-brainer. But yeah, this is the first time we're really feeling it, I think.
And do you think it's because, you know, how she reacted and she was so excited for the group, for the date?
I don't think. Or winning? I think it's more just as they come down to the wire, neither of them really wants it. I don't think. That's my theory.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think they really do like each other. And it's almost like the Lake House or whatever, that romantic comedy with Sandra Bullock, where they're like, man, I don't know, just like forbidden love of like they would be the perfect couple if not for this what I think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I could see that. Chat roll, let us know what you think. Oh, Valerie said, yeah, I definitely think that Becca M is going home next week before hometowns because of the recent news story about how her mom didn't know where she was.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw that, but if you didn't, where have you been all weekend? So pretty much Becca was found on a missing persons report. And
such a Becca move.
I know, it is such a Becca move. And I guess when she was on set for The Bachelor, right, her mom couldn't get in touch with her and reported her missing. I guess that's what happened.
She had told her mom she like went to stay on a marijuana farm, supposedly.
No, I thought she did go stay on a marijuana. Wait, what?
No, that's what the story is that she told. This is what confuses me. Becca put out, "Oh, mom, I told you I didn't have cell service on The Bachelor." But what the story was that I read was that she said she was going to stay on a marijuana farm and then thought her daughter like disappeared and wasn't on that farm or something. I think Becca might have lied to her mom about where she was going.
Probably. Well, then again, she's 22 years old, so
she's a grown up.
That showed her age again.
My sister did not lie. She told my parents straight up, and that was the funniest conversation ever.
Why? Were they pissed about it?
No, my dad was amused. My mom was just like, but I don't get it. But how does this work? Are you going to come home with him or what? Like, it was
hilarious. The thing I don't get is, why would you say you're going to a marijuana farm? You got to be right? Like, I'm going to a convent. I'm going
a
to
yoga retreat.
Do missionary work in Africa.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was very specifically
a
marijuana farm.
Don't be shady about doing something shady.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That. I don't get it.
I don't know. There's something weird with that story. If you guys know, if we're saying it incorrectly and you're in the chat room, please let us know. Because something's not right about that.
I know. It sounds weird, but that's what I read. I was on, like, the Twitter news stories.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But that's a really good point, because I don't know why else her mom would think she's missing if he came home for hometowns, which is why I'm telling you guys, that goes back to my theory of he seems less interested. I think the age has gotten to him.
So you think Becca's going home next week before hometowns?
I don't know, next week or...
Before.
Yeah, I could see next week.
I agree, though. I don't think she's making it to hometowns just for the simple fact that I don't think Ari could really face her dad and be like, yeah, I'm going to marry your 23-year-old daughter. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't see that conversation going well at all.
I mean, Ari does keep saying, I have a lot to think about. I think he just loves the idea of her, but he's like, realistically, I'm going to be a joke if I choose a 22-year-old to marry at the end of this. Like, I'm here to find a wife. Like, what am I doing?
Not to mention all the rumors that swirled about him before the show started about his, you know... interest in younger women.
You want to know what's funny? On the way here, I was on the phone with one of my best friends, and she doesn't watch The Bachelor, but she watched the season premiere, and she watched tonight's episode. She's like, what is it with this guy? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, he likes young girls, doesn't he? And I was like, what? She's like, yeah. She's like, first of all these girls are way too young for him. She's like, isn't he like 40? And I was like, no, he's 36. She's like, no, you know what it is? He's that senior who dates a hot freshman because he can't get a hot senior, but he can get a hot freshman. And anyways, when she was saying that, I was like, uh-huh, totally. That makes sense to me. It was savage.
I mean, that makes sense to me, too, considering how intimidated he is by even just, like, smart women to have their shit together.
Totally.
We'll talk about that at the end, I'm assuming, but yeah. I have a lot of thoughts about all of that, so.
Okay, we'll get into it. But before that, the highly anticipated two-on-one date.
Oh my gosh. This was gold. First of all, man, I thought we were blessed with Crazy Crystal the first five episodes, but episode six truly took the cake. I'd like to thank ABC. I'd like to thank Crystal. That was TV gold. Oh my gosh, she's crazy, and I was living for it. But Kendall really bounced it out. Like, if it was anyone else, I think it would have been such a crazy storm, but Kendall was so calm.
She was so calm, and I honestly find her to be very savage when she's actually trying to, like, tell you about yourself. I forgot what it's...
She was patronizing her a little bit.
She was, but I felt like she deserved it, so I wasn't mad at it, because Crystal does the same exact thing every time she opens her mouth to give a toast.
Yeah.
I just feel like you ladies need to, you know, like, so get it back for once. I was happy that she was just giving it right back to her.
At this point, I don't think Crystal is being herself at all. I think she's being completely coached. I think that she knows what she's doing. She knows she's going to go home. She's just like, let me give them what they want. I think she's just playing with the producers. I just don't think she's, like, really that crazy.
You guys mentioned how calm Kendall was through all this. And I think the reason she was is because at that point, you know that if Ari picks Crystal, he's not the man for you.
For sure.
That's a good point.
Because it's not like it was two good girls where you would have your heart broken if he chose the other one.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, you wouldn't even be that sad if his moral compass chose the other girl.
Mm, true.
It would be an easy... There'd be no regret. It'd be an easy thing to let go of, I think. Because who would choose Crystal? I've been defending her this whole show. Yeah. I can't anymore, guys. Sorry, Crystal.
Yeah, this was a new low for Crystal.
You know, I honestly thought...
A new high for us.
I kind of thought this was one of the more boring two-on-one dates.
Really?
Yeah, do you guys not remember the one... I think the best one was Crystal's season with Ashley, I, and Kelsey. Do you remember that? Like, the girls normally get into it with each other. Mm. And I think maybe it's just because Kendall was, like, too cool, calm, and collected. She's like, I'm not having any of this. You know what I mean?
To be honest, I found it way more interesting for the way Kendall fought back, because a lot of the time we see the classic, like, well, I think you're this. Well, honestly, I'm not dealing with this. But to see Crystal be like, I don't know. And Kendall's like, exactly. You don't know.
Yeah.
And to say exactly what we want someone to say to really feel the punch on the other end, to me, was so satisfying, because Kendall knows how to talk to a person like Crystal, and I was living for
it. GMAC17 in the chat roll just said it so well. Kendall is what Taylor tried to be and failed.
Yes! So
accurate. Hashtag emotional intelligence.
I was going to say, had she said that line, it would have been, like, spot on.
So true.
Well, with the comparisons of her
being... She did.
Yeah. Did she say emotional intelligence?
G-Max did.
But did Kendall?
Oh, no. I'm just like, forget about Kendall. Can we talk about G-Max and Lightning?
On point. I think the difference there, though, is that at that point, Taylor didn't have as strong of a connection with Nick at that point. So I think people were already annoyed with her.
Right, right.
And there was no point for her to be that condescending to Corinne.
At the time, yeah.
In my opinion. Because I think with Crystal, she's been asking for it since episode 2, 3.
Yeah. And I think at this point, though, I think the reason why it didn't get that catty is because as much as Crystal has balls and will say things and do things in a conniving way, I think she knew at this point better than to start a scene, considering that's what got her in hot water with Ari 2 weeks prior. So I knew she wasn't going to, you know, attack Kendall in that way, but she did it in the slick way of, like, after they just made up, well, by the way, like, Kendall's not ready for marriage. Like,
yeah.
I think she honestly could have saved herself before she got to that point.
Really? I don't think so. I think he was only bringing her on this date to get rid of her.
You don't bring
someone you have, like, a good connection with on a two-on-one date if you want to keep them. Like, first of all, that's messed up. That is, like, torture to the poor girl.
Mm.
And also, yeah. I just think, I don't know, I really just don't believe that was Crystal. I feel like she was coached all along. And other people in the chat roll are saying this, but there was an interview with her where she seemed like a completely normal person, had her voice. It was the, what's that called?
Oh, the Bachelor Insider, Will You Accept This Ride?
Yeah, Will You Accept This Ride?
Yeah, I mean, I watched it, and that's when I learned that that voice truly was just for television, which blew my mind, because she talked so normal. She does seem like a sweet girl, but you guys also have to remember, this doesn't tell who she is. If you're on a show and you're supposed to be now likable. Now I don't care about Ari liking me. I care that America likes me. So of course she's not going to talk in the seductive voice that she learned from America that they don't like. Mm-hmm. And she wants to appear more likable. I don't think that means she's not crazy. I think it very well could be producers coaching her. I also think she could literally just be crazy.
Maybe, maybe.
You think she has any regrets about putting on that whole act? Because when she got sent home, the look on it, she had the most stoic, like, why did I do this face? Like, maybe. Honestly, she looked just...
She's and she probably like, shit, this did not work out the way I thought it was going to work out.
That's the vibe that I got. Like, damn, well, I should have eased up on
to,
it.
And that's a tough way to go out because Kendall totally put it in her place. So it was, mm-hmm. like, double whammy because yes. it was, like, not only am yep. I leaving, but, like, I was very accurately called out by a girl who was right. So yep. it's, like, she just... Not a redeeming way to leave this show.
Nope.
Yikes.
I think it was so weird that Ari brought them both to the second part of the date only to cheers with them and then let Crystal go home. Like, why was that necessary?
Yeah, why was there a second part of the date?
Just put girls back home.
just because they wanted to get that shot of Crystal looking over at the Eiffel Tower and seeing Ari and Kendall make out from a distance and fall in love in Paris and her heartbreak.
Yeah, couldn't they have, like, showed us the conversations even for a second just to, like, give us a better feel or throw us off again? But instead, they just showed us the first part, and the second part was 2 seconds long.
Yeah.
Well, so weird.
Now I hope we actually get to see some more of Kendall, because she does seem really interesting, sophisticated, fun, and just quirky, and I feel like her and Ari have a good balance with each other, because he's so boring, and she seems so quirky and fun, so I hope that she gets a proper one-on-one date, and that we get to learn a little bit more about her.
Do you guys think Ari seems that into Kendall? Because I kind of don't.
I didn't think he seemed that into her.
No, I don't think he is that into her.
I don't think so either, but I think she said the magic words of, like, I'm ready for marriage, and I think that's going to pique his interest regardless.
But also, I feel like that was a lie.
Oh. She had to save herself.
It absolutely so, yeah. is a lie.
But, I mean, she said the right things.
I want to go to Tuscany. Has. Yeah, I'm ready for marriage for now.
She's
for
like
4 weeks.
You know? She's like, we cannot go to like tribal celebrations together because I'd eat the human body and you wouldn't. Clearly, this is not a match.
It's not gonna work.
It's not gonna work. Okay, what about we had some one-on-one time, another one-on-one date with Jacqueline. I feel like this is the first time we've seen Jacqueline all season.
I loved her.
So nice to meet you, Jacqueline.
I know. I loved her ever since that one funny comment she made like 2 episodes ago. And I'm like, how have we never seen her?
She's actually really. What was the funny comment?
Something about Crystal. Like, now the girls can actually kill each other. She made a joke about like a wrestling date they had. Okay. And ever since then, I just wanted to get to know her more because she seemed funny. And I love when funny girls or a funny bachelor, but like that's pretty rare, comes on this show. So I really liked their one-on-one date. I thought she was very relatable. She seemed just very normal, but funny and smart and witty. And I just really enjoyed watching them together. They seem sweet. And that's why it blows my mind that we haven't seen them together prior to this. Because she's actually interesting. We don't want to see Lauren. Show us more Jacqueline.
Yeah, I agree with you.
This was weird. It almost feels like we've been watching a bunch of high school girls and all of a sudden a college girl showed up. Like, yeah. She didn't even seem like she, like, it was like a totally different person.
That's so true, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to see so much of her personality. I definitely appreciated her, like, just awkward, natural moments. Even when they were, like, walking through the street and she had this weird moment where she, like, flipped her hair and did, like, a weird thing with her shoes and the dress. And I was like, at first I was like this, but then I'm like, you know what? I'd probably be just as awkward and, you know, into the moment as she is. And I like seeing that she's obviously comfortable with him. And, you know, she's from New York, so I was rooting for her.
Anyway. Oh, she's from New York?
Yeah,
that makes me happy.
She's also the most different girl there.
Yep.
Like, no one there looks like her. So it was cool to see more about her now. She's not a blonde. She's not...
Named Lauren.
Lauren. And, you know, she's very different.
Yeah, I agree with you. If it was Lauren's date... Okay, so you know when they were in the Portos, 1961, I think that's what it's called, the designer store?
Yeah.
And they were, like, joking around about that jacket. They're like, who's going to wear this? Lauren would have been like... Wow. And she was like at least teasing back with him. And I'm like, yes. Okay, this is natural. Like, this is the way people talk and flirt and just have conversation with each other.
Yeah.
It did feel very natural and very right.
Mm-hmm.
What confused me was when they had their dinner time, and I think I missed a little bit of it, but she started saying how, like, I guess she wants, does she have her doctorates or she wants to get her doctorates, right?
She wants to get her doctorates.
So she has to go to school for 6 years. So I think it was just the way she approached it, where it's like, just so you know, this is my 6-year plan. I'm going to go do this. And it seemed very closed off. Like, I already have my life plan for me. How are you going to fit into it? Whereas opposed, like, when you're in a relationship, you have to work on that together. Obviously, you discuss your goals and everything, but the way she said it was just so matter of fact that, I don't know, I think she could have worded it better.
I agree.
I didn't think about that until you just said it, Christina, but now that you are, I get that, and I think that's a good point. Maybe it was produced a little bit. Like, maybe she wouldn't have been so hard and fast if there weren't some producers telling her to be. I don't know. That's an interesting
point. Right, because she was like, just so you know, I'm, like, going to be in med school. I'm going to get my doctorate. It's going to be 6 years. Like,
I think
like,
it
whoa.
I think it was also just maybe a defense mechanism in a way. I think she was probably nervous that he wasn't going to be pleased by it. So it seemed like she just wanted to get it out and just, you know, have it be out there and then see what happens. Because I'd be nervous to say something like that, too. Mm-hmm. You don't know how the person's going to take it.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, like, if Ari were to choose her and they were to get married, like, life would change and who knows what would happen. Yeah. Like, they'd go on Dancing with the Stars. Like, you know, PhDs might get delayed. I don't know. But I'm really happy that he gave her the rose because I was just very confused. I'm like, wait a minute. So she's smart and beautiful, but she's too smart.
I feel like this was the moment that Ari realized he's guy basic.
Yeah, he is guy basic.
Because she was like, what would be wrong with someone being smart? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's because he's guy basic.
Although, actually, I feel like he gave a good response to that. He said, I just hope I would know how to interest you. And he said the same thing to Becca. So I feel like he's just intimidated by smart, intelligent, like, confident, cool women because he's like, shit, I'm not as cool or smart or confident. Like, do I have enough to offer them? So I feel like I appreciate that he knows he's basic. I wish more girls knew they were basic, too. I don't know.
Some guys, too. Like,
yeah. No, I know. But
as women, how did you guys feel about that corner of his personality of, like, smart women and interesting women intimidate me?
To be honest, yeah, it just kind of bored me because I'm like, okay, so he's going to go for someone who's not that smart, not that interesting, not that driven. I mean, we were warned a few episodes ago, he needs a woman with a flexible schedule. Remember this? So, I don't know. That kind of, to be honest, the whole, all of his comments about, you know, being intimidated because she's intelligent kind of just bugged me. Because I don't know, I feel like he's almost putting her on a pedestal, but not really. He's, like, taking himself out of the game before the game's even started. Just like when she's talking about what her schedule is going to be for 6 years, he was very back and forth with, like, oh, I don't know if it's going to work out with our schedules, but I'm going to follow my heart. It just seems like he's already kind of quitting while he's ahead.
Yeah, but I think it would have been worse for him to send her
not
home
give the rose.
And not give her the rose for that because it's going to really look like, yeah, I really don't want a smart woman and I don't want someone who's not going to give up their, you know, PhD plans for me. I feel like it could have came off wrong either way.
I think this is the bottom line. I think Ari wants someone who will fit into his life. He wants someone who will move to Scottsdale and be his wife, and maybe she could have a career too. But he's not like trying to change up his life for anyone else. And I think he's trying to find someone who fits into what he already has.
Do you think that's fair, though?
I think that's kind of fair in this case just because he's older and it's his show, and he probably has a lot of money. And it's kind of like if there are 24 women vying for your heart, you can be picky and find the girl that fits your puzzle piece a little bit.
I mean, that's what he's there for, right?
Right, exactly.
So it makes sense, but I just think that's why he finds issues with people like Jacqueline and Becca M and even CN. He's like, okay, this girl is going to be bored as hell in Scottsdale, Arizona. Like, how is this going to work out?
I don't know.
I think that's valid for him. Like, it is his show. He's there to find someone who's good for him, not like who's good for America or who we find most entertaining, you know?
But that's fair. But also, he says a lot of the times he just says, I'm looking for a wife. I'm looking for a wife. But Kendall made a great comment today that it's not just like looking for a wife or a husband. It's finding someone that has that love and has those qualities that you want to be with, as opposed to just focusing on like, well, will she fit into my schedule? I'm attracted to her and she fits into my schedule. I don't want that to just be it because I'm a sucker for romance. I want there to be love and struggle, and you move past it because you're in love, not because she doesn't work a 9-to-5 and has a flexible schedule and can move to Scottsdale.
Yeah, but love is about compassion. It's about patience. It's about compromise.
On both sides.
On both sides. But this is his show. He's 36.
Like, I don't care if it's his show. It's going to be their life afterwards. He can't just base off of this like, oh, well, life's going to like smooth sailing as long as you're...
The thing is, though, Renee, is that's what you want. I mean, like, there is a girl on there who wants to be a stay-at-home domesticated chef. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
But what I'm saying is people are unpredictable just because he picks the cookie-cutter girl that may fit his schedule based on what she's told him off the show doesn't mean that that's going to be the case. So wouldn't you rather go for someone that works in all areas, and even if there's a little struggle, you love them.
But that's saying that he doesn't love those other girls. That's, you know what I mean?
Well, he seems very interested.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what he wants, right?
A wife. But shouldn't you find someone who you want to be your wife as opposed to just looking for a wife?
I get what you're saying, but I think you could have your cake and eat it too. And I feel like that's why probably someone like Lauren B is so intriguing to him, because he's like, okay, I could fall in love with this person and she does fit the mold of everything that I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's just that his type, Renee, is the submissive stay-at-home, yeah. You know?
It hasn't worked yet. Within the realms of his type. And this kind of reminds me a lot of the conversations that we had about Rachel and Brian and Peter about, like, you know, wanting someone who's going to fit like what you want.
Yeah, but with Brian, we were just like irritated a lot of time because he seemed almost too good to be true. We thought it was fake, like the way he, you know, was always trying to woohoo from the beginning. But it wasn't to say that he wasn't good to her or we didn't see the connection. I don't see a connection with him and Lauren. I see him trying to make a connection because he thinks she's going to be the type of girl that he thinks he wants to be with, which is not how love works. You don't just find someone who you think is the idea of who you want to be with. You find someone that it works. And with Lauren, it seemed he was forcing it.
I agree that it might be forcing it, but, you know, like Jeff was saying, some people's idea of love is different. Maybe the idea of love for him at 36 is just something that just works.
It's not the bachelor dream, I'll tell you that.
I don't know. I think this is the dream for a lot of people. I think, like, a lot of people would be very happy in this life that Ari wants to create for him and for his family.
Especially when you think about his past. I mean, like, if he has this traumatic baby mama experience and he's been driving race cars his whole life, and maybe he is kind of guy basic, the idea of a stay-at-home, compliant... It's not my type at all. I mean, you guys know, you've met my fiancé, but we can't necessarily shame him for...
No, you can't. That's the thing. Just because it's not like what you like doesn't mean it's wrong. Do you know what I mean?
But here's the thing. I don't think it's wrong. I just think it's not going to build a long-term connection if you're only picking someone because you think that they're an idea of someone that you want as opposed to who they actually are, because no one... He's not getting to know these women in their day-to-day life. You know, this is a reality show. It's only going on for 3 months or so. So you get a little bit of this person. So to go by just because of what you're hearing of, you have a flexible schedule.
That's like, this is The Bachelor. They're only there for 6 weeks, right? So everyone does this. I think it's better for him that he's trying to find someone who he thinks could really fit into his life as opposed to someone who's like, this is the hottest person. She's like really adventurous. She's so cool. We're going to have this great, awesome adventure together.
Not like that, but with Lauren, he was full on forcing it.
And I didn't see it with Lauren either, but I think we just have to wait and see how the next couple episodes play out.
True.
Maybe love doesn't happen in Paris. Maybe it happens in Tuscany.
I don't know. I think lots of stuff is going to go down in Tuscany based on that promo.
Lots of tears.
But real quick, can we just figure out, does anyone know who Lauren was talking to at the end of the episode? Jeff, did you see that?
No, I actually, I had to tune out early to get, I didn't see the next week on.
It was a producer, for sure. That's why they didn't have her on camera.
I think
absolutely.
It was. They just probably didn't get her in, like, the framing for, like, the ITMs that they do, but it seemed like she was talking to a producer.
I think she's just emotionally talking to a producer, like, backstage, but not backstage.
Gosh, imagine if she was, like, just talking to herself.
and they're like, wait a minute, she's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
That made it more dramatic, though, that it looked like it was something off on the side, and she was so upset. They wanted that.
Yeah, totally. It was probably like all done in voiceover afterwards. Like her mouth, she was just standing there with her arms closed and like they just added in later. Okay, guys. So next week we're in Tuscany. And then after that, is it hometown dates? I think so, right?
7, yes. 8, and then 9, 10. Yeah.
That is crazy. I cannot believe it's almost over already.
I can't either.
I can't believe we're going to hometown dates. Okay. Renee, who are the four girls that we're going to go see their hometowns?
Tia, Becca K, Lauren, and oh my gosh, I'm going to say Kendall.
I have the exact same list, just so you know, Renee.
Wow. Okay, Jeff. Ooh.
Yeah.
I have Becca K, CN, Tia, and Kendall.
That's also the same list, right?
No, you guys didn't say CN.
No, she has CN.
Oh, sorry. I have CN. Oh, nope, sorry. I lied. I've got Becca, Tia, Lauren, Kendall. That's what I have.
Okay.
Oh, we've all lost hope in Becca.
I have... I'm going to include her.
Okay.
I have Becca T. Becca K.
Becca T. She's Becca not on the T. Show Becca a lot.
T. Love her. Have you met her? Have you seen her? She's amazing. Becca K. Becca M. Tia and Lauren. I think that CN will get cut. And I think the biggest surprise, and people in the chat will want us to talk about this too, is Chelsea getting cut tonight.
I know. I didn't see that coming.
That, I did not see it coming at all.
Because she was the last one to get a one-on-one, and she got the rose, and he said he wouldn't keep her around for no reason. So I found it very interesting that within a week, that changed completely, given relationships are progressing and, you know, with other people all the time. So it's fair it could happen. But for us, it was like, but you were just so happy.
I do think that sometimes there's so much pressure to give someone a rose on the one-on-one date.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for Chelsea when she was opening up. And, like, they did have a nice experience. Like, how could he not? He would look like such an a-hole if he didn't give her a rose. That this week he's probably like, okay, there's just nothing here. It's not going to happen. Let me get rid of her now.
I'm surprised, though, because Chelsea seems like the better version of Lauren. They're both a little boring, no offense, but I just feel like at least Chelsea has a soul.
Oh, my God.
That was a little shady. Sorry.
Super shady.
No, you know what I mean, though, right?
I found Chelsea interesting on her one-on-one. Before that, I just liked her for the very little drama we did get. But she was funny, or not funny. Yeah. I really empathized with her last week.
And she is funny, too, and she does seem like she has more of a personality, too. So I agree with you, Jeff, and I think she would definitely fit into the mold of what he's looking for.
Yeah, especially because she already has a kid. I mean, maybe that's intimidating to him, but all of the values and priorities he seems to be really pushing in this show, Chelsea ticks a lot of those boxes to me. I was surprised.
I think so, but the only thing that I can say was missing from their relationship was really attraction. I don't feel like it was, like, really, really there.
Yeah, that's I agree.
Like, I agree with you. That's a good point.
Especially when we saw them on, like, the jet ski together and, like, certain parts of the date, I was like, I don't know if I see, like, that just raw physical, like, you know, je ne sais quoi. Since we're
they're great on paper, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I think that part of it, too, is obviously this is what Ben did with Amanda when he was, like, he brought her home to the hometown and it was even harder to say goodbye. Like, I think at this point, if you don't see someone in the final four, you do not bring them to hometowns, especially if they have a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he knows it's not going to work out, like, that would be terrible for him to go to her home to meet the kid. So I think that it was good that he did it now, not drag her along. And hopefully she got to enjoy a long weekend in Paris. I hope so.
Mama's weekend out.
Yeah, I hope so.
And then Jenna's gone.
Okay.
We all knew it was coming.
That was Jenna, like when Alexis left.
Wait a minute. What about the way she was hysterically crying at the end? Or she was like throwing almost like a tantrum, like she was gone.
Threw her head down. And
I was like,
that's exactly how I would have expected Jenna to leave.
Yeah,
honestly.
I guess. She's just drunk.
Yeah. Jenna, you're drunk. Go home.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah, totally. Okay, you guys, do you have any last predictions for a week in Tuscany?
Is this when the guy's coming? Or did they? Or are they tricking us and they're saying later in the season?
I think it's later in the season. I don't think he's going to be there in Tuscany.
See it.
I think he's going to go on the hometown date. He'll be there.
Oh, that makes more sense. Because someone's in that past just walking up. He's not going to buy a flight. He has to buy a flight.
That would make a lot of sense. But knowing The Bachelor, you never know.
You never know.
They brought DeMario's ex. Whoever out of the woodwork. I think they'll find
That was to Woodland Hills. Woodland Hills is different than Florence.
True.
Okay? Very different. I think that apparently people are saying that Lauren B gets another one-on-one date next week in Tuscany. So I'd be interested.
She gets another one? Another one.
That's what the chat roll is saying.
Also, Lauren B reminds me of Lauren B.
Okay. So much. Also, have you guys seen Unreal?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I just started rewatching season one because I have zero life.
So good.
And because also season three is finally coming out at
like
the end of February.
Week.
Yeah. And the winner of the first season of Unreal, I forget the actress's name, Lauren B. from Ben's season, and this Lauren all look like startlingly
yes,
similar.
They do.
And I'm like, okay, this is like creepy. This is like some clone woman that ABC just looks for every year and just produces for The Bachelor.
And you know that the one who played The Bachelor on Unreal, they're actually married. The one who won the show, the blonde, and him are married.
I did not know that.
Yep, wow. Fun fact. They're super cute together.
Wow.
Not on the actual show behind the scenes. If you watch Unreal, it breaks some reality for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it worked out for them.
Me too.
On Happily Ever After, whatever it's called. Hopefully it'll be better on here. Oh, and real quick, Christine is going to talk about some news and gossip. Take it away, Christine.
Well, one of our Twitter followers, JackWalsh4_, tweeted us earlier today about this picture that surfaced on Instagram of Nick Vile and Corinne Olympios. They're hugging, and there's a lot of theories underneath about when this photo was taken. But obviously, you know, it caused a stir. Some people are saying that it was taken from their hometown date from last season, and that it's not a current photo, but with the timing of Nick's breakup with January Jones and Corinne kind of needing some sort of relevancy here, I don't know. Do you guys think it...
Corinne posted that, right?
Corinne posted it.
But
Nick
didn't tag
didn't
him,
like
right?
it. Nick didn't like it. He wasn't tagged. And
what was her caption? Anything?
No caption.
I think this is just a PR stunt.
Same.
I think they were probably hanging out. He was probably like, damn, this is embarrassing. Everyone's talking about how January Jones, like, dumped me. I'm never going to date a girl again. And she was like, oh, no one's talking about me. And they're like, let's give him something to talk about. And that's what happened.
She is releasing her own clothing line, isn't she?
I guess. Doesn't she already have?
It's going into stores like PacSun. She has a podcast, but she's releasing her clothing stores in her clothing in a lot more stores right now. She has like big things coming. So honestly, I think she's pulling a Kim K and doing a smart thing to make money.
It's just a PR stunt. Jeff,
for sure.
Did you see the photo?
No, but I agree with you guys. I think Corinne is smart, and I think Nick and Corinne are smart. I think those two are. I call them Slytherins. If you guys are Harry Potter fans,
oh my gosh. Yes.
And I mean that as a compliment.
Gosh, yeah. Well, imagine if they were to get together. That'd be interesting.
I'm not gonna lie, I liked them together on the show.
Yeah, they were good together.
I think they're like how Kim and Kanye are perfect for each other. They're both like super into each other. I think that's Nick.
I think they're perfect because neither of them will put up with the other shit.
So true.
Yeah, and they're both kind of sassy and sarcastic, and I think they make
and
a
blonde.
Lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here for it.
Me too.
Definitely wanted to just bring that up.
What would their
hot topic?
What would their couple name be?
Kick.
Noreen.
Karik.
I like
Karik.
Noreen.
I like Noreen better.
Noreen sounds like a kid's name.
Yeah.
This just sounds like more of an actual name.
I also, before we wrap, guys, I feel like I should apologize for calling Lauren soulless. I don't think she doesn't have a soul. It's been weighing on me. Lauren, if you're watching, you seem great. I just
she already clicked out after you told
she's
her.
She's gone. I'm screwed.
She's never coming on our podcast ever, and it's
she's
all your fault, Jeff.
She's sobbing at home because she doesn't have a soul.
Oh, my God. I'm done.
Honestly... And just for the record, everything that we say here is just, like, enlightened good humor.
Oh,
we're just talking about what we see. We don't actually believe that Lauren is soulless. Or maybe she's not a boring person. She probably is, like, really fun in person. And Crystal is not the devil. Like,
it's the editing. And we know that these are characters. And we know that if you can pick apart and make people say what you want to say and feed them lines, you can make them anyone you want them to be. We are aware of that. And honestly, considering how uncomfortable that environment must be with cameras all around, people telling you what to say and what to do, we get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all in good fun.
It's all in good fun. All love, no shade. Please don't harass us on that.
No, and I feel like for the most part, everyone understands that and knows that. But just in case you didn't, like, I would be talking about myself the same way if I were on the air.
Oh, God, that Christina girl.
She is the worst.
The worst.
So boring. So, I hate her.
So when I go on The Bachelor, am I going to get dragged?
Yes, you are, girl. If you're acting a fool, we're going to tell you you're acting a fool. Don't you think you deserve...
No, and I'd want you to, please.
Yes. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Like, people are watching themselves back, too. You're going on this. You know what you're getting signed up for. Like, we're obviously all very friendly, like, nice people. We're just having a good time here.
Yeah.
Talking about what we see.
I watched my sister and, like, said, damn, girl, you shouldn't have been crying like that. You know?
Yeah,
it's like,
totally. But anyways, on that note, you guys, obviously we love being here. We love chatting with you guys. Don't forget to go to iTunes. We don't say this all the time, but it definitely helps us out. It means a lot to us. If you're listening to the podcast, take a second and rate us 5 stars and give us a thumbs up on YouTube if you're watching. Definitely helps support us. And please continue to support and follow us along. I'm Christina. You can follow me on social media at Miss Zias. And Christine, where can they find you?
You guys can find me all over social media at Christine Bean.
And you guys can follow me at Renee Ariel on Instagram and on Twitter.
And Jeff?
Thanks. You can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham.
And guys, as always, I don't know about you guys, but I'm talking about Bachelor like all the time on Instagram, on Insta stories. I love when you guys like DM me like news clips that you see. It makes my day. So yes, please continue to do that.
Keep doing it.
And the conversation is always going on. So just continue with us. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
We love you, Shirley Cats!